Gundagai guy for, as you know, you're a bit of a fan of the State Gully Cup Carnival, and that's only about 2 months away. Look, if you're anywhere near the area, it's a fabulous day out.
Yes, definitely. Good on you, John. Thanks for your help and enjoy the afternoon.
Likewise. Thanks, Simon.
It's 10:30 in just a moment. Pacing Rewind.
You've won the plumbing contract. Now, all you need is to hire the extra staff and the equipment to deliver the project. So, you call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. We've helped thousands of small business owners get ahead with loans of up to $250,000. Get approval in hours and funds in your account as early as the next business day. At OnDeck, we say yes to small business. So for a loan to help you get ahead, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
The Big Sports Breakfast Grand Final Lunch is on again. Join your host TK and Loz in the Grand Ballroom at Royal Randwick Wednesday, October the 2nd. The fun kicks off at 12:30 when your Master of Ceremonies, Dave Stanley, welcomes you to enjoy a gourmet three-course lunch, five-hour beverage package, and to rub shoulders with royalty of the NRL and racing world. The midweek Randwick meeting will be in full swing, as will the Sky Racing Tipsters, who'll be doing their best to send you home a winner. Tickets $195 per person, available at australianturfclub.com.au.
Get the Menangle Mail, Tuesday afternoons.
And we had another massive night of harness racing at Tabcorp Park, Menangle. The Group 3 Vic Frost Cup was on last night. Fred Hastings, our race caller, joins me. Freddie, good morning to you.
Good day to you, Simon. How you doing?
Not too bad. How's your evening?
Yeah, it was a big night, 11 races. Ended up being longer than normal because we had a protest on the last, which tends to be Murphy's Law, that seemed to go on forever. I think they heard it for about 25 minutes before we got a decision, but there was even about a 10 or 15 minute period where there was deliberation over the grounds by the connections of the runner-up. They were viewing the footage, and then there were some issues with getting the footage available or something along those lines. So I think we ran the last race at about 18 minutes to 11 and got the protest verdict at 25 past 11. So that made the night just a bit longer than it would have been. But by gee, the racing was entertaining. There was some terrific efforts on and off the track. Have to mention Luke McCarthy, Cray Cross. There was an 11 race card. They won between them four of the races, Cray Cross training four, and Luke McCarthy, he leads the state drivers premiership by a fair space. I know it's only a week old, but he drove three at Menangle on Tuesday, he drove four winners at Penrith on Thursday, one at Newcastle Friday, and four again last night. Simon, he is in a purple patch of form. Certainly one of our top drivers. I think I rate Luke probably the best in Sydney, and that's something I've said publicly before. He's purple patch run, but he's really making hay while the sun shines. Anthony Butt drove a double. And Noel Daly trained a pair, Blue Moon Stride early on, and Lily Stride, who had to win the race not only on the track but then in the stewards' room. Of course, Lily Stride, a terrific trotting mare, came to Australia with a real buzz from the US, and she's won, I think it's two now from three. But last night I thought it was important because there was a bit of a suspicion that maybe she was a 1 mile trotter, but she handled the 2300 with aplomb last night and held rivals at bay. So a big night, but not only a big night for the people I've mentioned, Simon, but there was a young fella driving last night. Now, he's driven at Menangle before. I'm referring to Tom Eisen. Tom, of course, was a rising star a few years back, and he hadn't landed a Menangle winner, let alone a Metropolitan winner, and he came out and won a race with a horse called Perfect Pitch for Roy Roots Jr. Terrific drive, put it in a gun spot, and it was a big moment for the young fella, but then just four races later, he managed not only to land his first Metro double, but his first group win with the Vic Frost Cup.
They straighten up, 27.8 the quarter. God Spirit goes for home. Replaced Eye tries to stay on from Wrangler. The Black Prince is winding up with a brilliant turn of foot. There's no Tiger Tara, but there's the Black Prince going to the lead, trying to get on terms as Wrangler. It's the Black Prince in front. Well, Tom Eisen drove his first Menangle winner only three races ago and gets a Group 3 on the same night. Well done, young fella. The Black Prince has beaten Lexus with a view, has come from nowhere to grab second. Third's a camera, a place.
There was a replay there, Freddie, of last night's Group 3 Vic Frost Cup, won by the Black Prince for driver Tom Eisen. And Tom joins us online now. Tom, good morning.
Good morning.
Tom, congratulations, a big moment. I caught up with you after your first win with Perfect Pitch, and you had a smile on your face like a split watermelon, but then to come out a few races later and pick up a Group 3, how did that feel?
Oh, it was incredible.
Amazing feeling, I'm sure.
It really hasn't sunk in yet, I guess, so I'm pretty happy about it.
You've been driving for 5 years. You got off to a flyer in your career because you were named as a 2015 Rising Star. You were named again in 2016, but unfortunately suspension kept you out. But since then, you've been toiling hard. And I had a conversation with Roy Roots Jr., who trained the horses last night that you landed the prize on, and he gave me a heads up 12 months ago, Tom, that you are going to be a driver to watch. And a few other people I've spoken to have said you've just got better and better with a bit of experience and a bit of confidence. Is that how you're feeling? You're feeling confident each time you go out on the track?
Yes, absolutely. Junior, he's really, you know, he's always told me to be confident and, you know, just trust that I can do it. And he's put a lot of faith in me and told me that, you know, it's okay, just be patient and it'll all come. And I'm just happy that he's given me the opportunity to do it.
You drove 39 winners last season. You've driven 123 in your career. And as I said, you started off your first drive was a winner. The first day of driving, Piper's Challenge was the horse. So you've really got your career off to a flyer, and now it's time to cement it down, I guess. And now with a double under your belt at Menangle, you may find some more opportunities.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, the win on that horse for Dad, that was my second drive in a race, and he got the jockeys, which was good. But to win two at Menangle, that's something special. You know, I've always just wanted to win one there, but then to win one and then get a Group 3, you know, it's a pretty special moment. I'm very happy about it.
I bet you are. Now, Pitch Perfect, you put it in a lovely spot and it came with a good run. There was a bit of a street corner tip for Pitch Perfect last night. A few good judges were suggesting it'll be hard to beat, and you just put it in the right spot. I can remember you coming into the first turn trying to angle into that nice trailing position, and you did it with great aplomb. Very confident steer, and the horse produced on the night.
Absolutely. No, that was genius plan. You know, he said we can just roll forward there and hopefully we get a bit of luck early, and which we did, and we got the 1-1 sit, and it was all over from there. I was pretty confident that he could have got the job done, and he did it easy in the end.
The Black Prince, of course, was coming off a Group 1 performance at Melton, and it was an eye-catching run on that occasion. And this horse he probably has flown under the radar, Tom, a little bit, the Black Prince. He's probably, up until now, just been below that top echelon of horses. But with age on his side, he's a carousel winner at the track, and he put a few real good horses to the sword last night, again, on the back of a good steer. He would have given you a good feel up the straight, and that would have been the fastest time you've gone in a race, 1:50.09.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's Junior's favourite horse. He's really looked after him, and to go 1:50 with him, that's something special. And you know, I think he's probably working towards being one of my favourites as well. And you know, he's a really nice horse, and I'm happy to get the drive on him.
It'd be hard to get you off after that performance.
I don't think that's up to Junior, but hopefully I keep the drive there.
We'll put in a good word for you. Now, just on the Black Prince, have you had a chat to Roy as to where he may head? Because he did prove himself last night.
Yes, he did. He said there's a race coming up for him in 2 weeks at Menangle again. Mm-hmm. He said he's going to have him there. It's a 2,700-metre race, and he said that'd suit him even better. So, yeah, I think he's going to aim into that.
I was just going to say, he's one of those versatile horses, Tom, that he's, you know, adept at the mile, but he's also a pretty stout stayer.
Yeah, absolutely. He's really fast, you know. And especially over that 2,300, he just sits back and just waits to the top of the straight. He'll get him every time. And, you know, he's quick enough to do that, and he's good.
Yep, awesome. Now, just back to you on a personal level, what got you interested? Obviously, there's family ties with the sport, but was it always in your thoughts that you'd go into harness racing?
I never really thought about it. I sort of wanted to stay home and keep the horses with Dad. And but then, you know, I was driving up there one day and Junior put me on a horse and he offered me a job and asked me to come down and just see what it was all about. And, you know, he's given me the opportunity to do it. And I thought I'd take it and run with it. And it's all been good so far. It just keeps getting better.
How long have you been with him now?
18 months, I think.
Wow. Yeah, as I said, I spoke to Roy. I'll call him Roy. You call him Junior. But I spoke to him at Maitland. It was a Maitland meeting on a Monday, and yeah, he pulled me aside and said, "Look, I got this kid working for me," and you know, he said that with great respect. "I got this kid working for me, and I think he can make the grade. He just needs the right opportunities." And as I said before we spoke to you, a few people have pulled me aside and said, "Look, this kid goes all right. He can steer." So it must be good to have a vote of confidence like that. How old are you, Tommy? You're 19?
I'm 21.
21. Geez, I've taken two years off you. 21. When you started driving, however, you were only about 15, 16, yeah?
Yeah, I started at 16.
Who's been your biggest influence? Obviously, you've learned a lot working with Roy and obviously along the way with Dad, but who's been your biggest influence?
Ian Burning up home. He's you know, he drove a lot of winners for Dad, and he had a good career, and he still trains a few winners now. And I've always looked up to him, and he's really helped me along the way. I still talk to him every now and again and see him a bit, but, you know, I think he's really helped me a lot.
And what's your ambitions in the sport? I mean, obviously to drive as many winners as you can, but do you see yourself training them one day?
Yeah, I do. Probably not in the near future, a bit later on, but I think the driving, I think I'll stick to that for the time being and see where that takes me.
Well, I think it'll take you a fair way based on what we saw last night. Congratulations on what was a massive night for you. As I said, coming into the card, you hadn't even landed a provincial win at Menangle, but then, boom, you get a winner at a metro level, and then a couple of races later, a Group 3. And as I said, took a few big scalps with you along the way. So congratulations, Tom. Keep up the good work, and no doubt we'll be seeing more of you, I think, at Menangle in coming months.
Thank you, Steve.
Well done. Tom Eisen, Simon, he's a young fellow who he just seems to have a natural seat when he's behind a horse, and he's just getting better and better with experience and confidence. And when you get people that have been around the sport a long time saying, "Look, this fella drives okay," he might be one to watch in coming months, Simon.
Absolutely. Fred, what else is there on the news front for us?
Yeah, well, I can tell you that Rob Morris went to Albion Park last night. He had a full book of drives. He drove three winners for Kerri-Ann Morris, the Lucky Lodge team. First three races, in fact, and then he drove a winner later on in the program as well as a couple of placings. So Rob Morris picked up half the program. I mentioned a lot of the stuff that happened in and around Menangle last night. The other thing I wanted to mention, Simon, is that there's a big, big day today at Cowra. They've got their 100th anniversary of harness racing, and they've got a really good little eight race card there. I've had the pleasure of calling at Cowra, it'll be going back about 4 years ago now. It's a real fun day, great atmosphere, and I hope they get plenty of people out there to celebrate the 100th anniversary of harness racing. They started in 1919, obviously enough, on the 6th of September, and they were licensed to run night meetings, I think it was in the early 50s. So they've had quite a history in the sport. They've produced some very, very good horses. In fact, Simon, the mighty Rabanz, who was a star of the 50s, was a horse who did plenty of racing coming from that neck of the woods. So it's a big day for the club. Wish them well. Cowra, their 100th anniversary of harness racing today.
Yeah, that's terrific. Righto, Fred, good stuff. We might as well wrap it up there. As always, plenty going on, and another big week ahead. And Wednesday night, we'll hear Mark McNamara at Bathurst. That was his gig for many a year, wasn't it, the Wednesday nights at Bathurst?
Absolutely, yeah. Good to have Mark back. He's mingling some calling duties with hosting and presentation duties with Sky, but he'll no doubt find his way there to the track, although he hasn't called. The interesting thing is for Mark, it'll be his first look at the new venue, because when Mark left to go to New Zealand in 09, he was calling at Bathurst and they were running on the showground.
Yeah.
So it'll be Mark's first look at the spacious track there, and I reckon he'll like what he sees. It's a really good track to work at. One of my favourites. Good seeing track, and Mark will no doubt slot in like he hasn't been away.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff, Fred. Thanks very much. We'll catch you again next week.
Cheers, Simon.
It's 10:45 in just a moment. We'll put the focus on greyhound racing.
Sky Sports Radio has the winning team to bring you the special moments of the Spring Carnival. Every feature race, we're right there.
It's Wugok in front, 100 metres left to run. Breaking clear, close home. Wugok's cup. Wugok won it.
Plus, there's Duffersey, Radley and Lizzie Jelfs. An immediate analysis from form analyst Paul Joyce.
Much better than the rest of them, and look out Golden Rose. I don't know how they're going to beat him.
This spring, rely on Sky Sports Radio.
Greyhound racing takes place all over the world.
But Australia leads the way for sheer quality.
Daily Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader.
Well, we're into the full swing of the build-up to the million-dollar chase final now. And last night they had another one of the heats on that was on a Bathurst. Mick Cowley from Greyhound Racing New South Wales is online. And Mick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Simon. Yeah, you're absolutely right, mate. We're up and running in full swing now, and there's million-dollar racing almost every day of the week.
Well, let's start off at the top of the show here with a replay of last night's heat that was won by Good Odds Harada.
Racing, Good Odds Harada away beautifully on the outside, and he's going to cross and lead at the first corner. In the second there was Batang Bullet, then he ducked out and caused a bit of mayhem behind it. Getting through on the inside was Double Up D to go to second. Behind them runners Midnight Joyce in further trouble with Wolf Bear a long way back out of it. Fernando Porsche up to the back, and Good Odds Harada, he's going just as good as last week on the sections. Three or four lengths clear, Double Up D trying hard, but Good Odds Harada too good, beat Double Up D third. Solar Sky, a long gap back. Fernando Porsche might have got through to be fourth. Then Midnight Joyce was Wolf Bear.
A replay there from Bathurst last night. Mick and Good Odds Harada is now the first dog through to the semi-finals.
Absolutely right, yeah. First four across the line there, Simon, all make it through to the semi-finals on October 11 at Wentworth Park. And yeah, a different setup this year with the regional finals, where the first four rather than the first two, as it was last year, advance. And that's seeing that we are getting a lot of very good dogs head out to these regional events, and that'll filter through as we get closer to October. But as you said, you know, fantastic performance last night by Good Odds Harada. Odds on favourite. 12 months ago, the Bathurst finals were won by a 33-1 chance, Rowan Hill. But last night, punters were happy, and so too was Frank Hurst, who's joining us now.
Frank's on the line. Frank, good morning to you.
Morning, mate. How are you?
Right. Frank, congratulations last night, mate. I spoke to you last night, and you did say that one of the things you were feeling was a bit of relief to finally get it over and done with and make it through to the semis.
Oh, absolutely, mate. You know, this is, as I say to you, you know, we've been in plenty of big races and that sort of thing, you know. But this this one, as far as exceeds the first one, mate, the publicity and the promos and the dogs, they're getting, you know, the first one was a rush job or something. And, you know, they never got the quality of dogs they're going to get this year, I'll tell you that. So it's all good for ground racing, mate.
Mate, is it a relief, as you said, to you don't have to worry now. October 11, he's booked in for a semi-final spot. You now basically just plan out the next 5 or 6 weeks with him?
Yeah, mate. It's one step at a time. But, you know, he'll get a week or 10 days off sometime, you know, and then he'll be back, you know, probably have a run or two before the semis, you know.
Frank, you've obviously he's not the only one you've got. You've got Good Odds Buddy, who'll go around in the regional final down in Dapto on Thursday night, and hoping to basically spread the kennel around and get a few through to the semis.
Oh, absolutely, mate. Yeah, I thought only the, you know, I was under the misillusion early that only the winners of the from each track went through, but now, you know, I found out it's the first four, so. You know, that's why I spit them out. I didn't want to take them all to the one place. So, But, they could have all been in a Bathurst. Save me from mucking around or whatever.
Mate, lucky you love the travel, Frank. You get to see plenty of the countryside.
Mate, any all-ground trainer see plenty of travel and made us part of the game, you know.
It is indeed. And also, I noticed last night too, you mentioned at the presentation that the unnamed women in the sport that are behind all the trainers, Tracy, your wife, is a huge help with the kennel and with all the dogs. And again, they're supporting last night at Bathurst.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, mate. You know, look at all the successful trainers. Look at their wives and that, mate, you know. They do as much as what we do, sometimes even more, you know. So, and they, you know, but they don't get the limelight that we get, of course. But I just thought I'd mention it last night.
No.
I got a good response from the girls. So, yeah.
Mate, it's very true, that, Frank. Yeah, your name might be the one on the newspaper and the race book and that sort of thing as the trainer, but it's really a team effort, and it's the case with pretty much every trainer in the industry, isn't it?
Oh, mate, you just, you know, we've cut right back, you know. We've only got 8 dogs in the kennel, but even, you know, mate, on your own, 8 dogs is a handful, you know. Mm. You've got to have that, like if you go off racing, you know, someone, and you've got to leave at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, someone's got to be there at 5 to feed them and that sort of thing, so, you know. You need all the help you can get, mate.
To
do it properly, you know.
Absolutely. And I know that Tracy doesn't like the limelight, but well and truly worth her getting a bit of acknowledgement.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a bit shy, mate.
Right. As long as the team's doing well, that's all that matters, mate.
Oh, that's right. You know, and the team's going good at the moment, so we're all very happy with the job,
Frank,
you know.
Frank, as I said, mate, congratulations on last night and all the best with Buddy on next Thursday and the rest of the team, you know, throughout the series and then October 11th for the semi-finals.
That's it, mate. We can't wait for it.
All the best. Thanks very much for joining us, Frank.
Good on you, mate. Thank you.
Simon, there he was. Yeah, Frank Hurst, the successful trainer. Of course, him and his wife, Tracy, as he did mention, getting Good Odds Harada through to the Million Dollar Chase semi-finals on October 11th. And joining them in the semi-finals, the other ones that did make it through were Double Up D, who actually ran second in the Bathurst final last year, advanced to the semi-finals, then had no luck, got skittled on the first turn in those semis. Solar Sky for Jack Smith got through as well. Solar Sky and Good Odds Harada are actually litter mates. They're from that collision Solar Pack litter, which is also the litter that has given us Feral Frankie. And the fourth dog that got through was Wolf Bear for Paul Steedman. So there's our first four semi-finalists for October 11th, Tom.
Looking forward to that. I'm having a look at the fixed odds market now for the grand final. And it's at $12 now alongside Feral Frankie and Black Opium. Of course, I'm talking about Good Odds Harada there. What's the latest with Federal Lily, do you know? She's still injured, Mick?
She's coming good. Had spoken with Pete Legagioni last week. He's relatively, he is reserved, as you do well know, Simon, and that he's quite happy with the way she's going. And I think she's out to 50 to 1 or something in Oz, maybe 33 to 1. But yeah, he's quite confident and happy that she's well and truly on the mend, and she'll be taking part in the series somewhere.
Oh, good stuff. Fingers crossed she can get there. Now, tonight at Gunnedah, we've got their final on, and Feral Frankie lines up for Jack Smith, and Feral Frankie's drawn box 6. He joins us online now. Jack, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jack. You're obviously not loaded up and ready to go to Gunnedah yet, but exciting times. You're looking forward to tonight?
Yes, let's hope we all get around nice and safe.
Mate, I guess that is the key to it, that first turn. He managed to get in and come out the other side last Saturday night in the heats. I guess you hold your breath a little bit going into it.
You certainly do. We couldn't see where he was last week and from behind the boxes, but when we seen him hit the front, it was a relief.
Absolutely. But is there pressure on you as the trainer? Yeah, this dog is the talk of the town, the talk of the state, talk of the industry. Does that add any extra pressure to you, or you just go about your business?
No, No, we just go about the business and he doesn't know, so no good me worrying about it.
Absolutely right. Mate, how's it? It's just been a quiet week with him since those heats?
Yeah, we just work him at home and that's it, mate, yeah.
Mate, and I was just talking to Frank Hurst, I don't know whether you heard or not, but Frank was talking about Tracy and all the help that he that she gives him. I guess it's the same with you and Marie. It's a real team effort, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is, mate, and it's not only us. It's everybody before you get these dogs, like, you know, the rarers, the breakers, the breeders. We're just finishing them off, and we're lucky to have them to train. So, yeah, it's not only just now, but a lot of work goes into it before you get them.
Absolutely right. As Frank spoke about it, your name may be the one in the race book, but Marie's always there doing all the work with you and travelling all the yards with you as well.
She certainly does. She's sitting alongside me now grinning. So.
Hey, guys.
Hello, Marie.
Hi.
Jack, first of all, congratulations as well, getting Solar Sky through last night to the semi-finals. Is that coming? If I'd have said that to you a couple of weeks ago, would you have laughed?
Maybe, I don't know. No, she's quite spattered. She's certainly not as good as her brothers, so she's riding on their back a little bit, but she's not bad in her own right. She's done well. So, you know, I think the boys are looking at a breeding program. She's probably not going to have a long racing career. So, she's run 29.77 last week, so she's no slouch. She's run in town. She's run 26.4, I think, at Bulleye. So, although she's not as good as them, and there's not many that are as good as Frank's dog and Farrell, so, I'll pick a nice dog and I'll breed from her, and anybody interested in getting into the line, it might be a good chance to buy a pup.
It's the best advertisements going around for that breed at the moment, the way all the litter is performing, that's for sure. And hopefully there'll be another one from the litter that advances through to the semi-finals tonight at Gunnedah.
Let's hope so, mate. Let's hope so.
Well, Jack and Marie, best of luck for tonight. Travel safe, and I hope Frankie travels safe around that first turn and turns on a show for the crowd.
We'll be praying, mate. We'll be praying.
All the best. Good luck, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Simon, there was Jack and Marie, and they're on their way to Gunnedah for the regional final tonight. And first four again through, but I would imagine that everyone's hoping that Frankie will get through that first turn, open up a big lead like he did last week, and maybe another 12-length win.
Could be. Might shorten for the final after tonight. And now it's been another busy week with the heats. First of all, should we touch on the couple that were run at Gosford last Tuesday?
Absolutely, mate. There was two heats at Gosford. First four in each heat got through to the regional final, which we run this Tuesday at Gosford. And, coincidentally, last year, Pete Legagione and his wife Jody trained the winner of the $1 million chase, Mystic Wright. And Jamala Jett ran second for the Crouchers, Andrew and Adam. And Tuesday night at Gosford, the pair managed to qualify four dogs for next Tuesday's final. Jamala Jett was one of them, of course, and Sorry Scott for the Crouchers, and Double Back, and she's got Sol for Pete Legagione. So they've got a few chances in the final next Tuesday night to advance to the semi-finals on October 11 again.
And what about Dapto from Thursday? We had three heats then.
Mate, three heats, as you said, on Dapto. Some very handy performances. The standout, though, was Corborn Marty, for Jody and Andy Lord. Ran the fastest time of the night, but also maintained an unbeaten record around that Dapto track. It's six starts for six wins now. And he'll be one of the ones to beat, as we mentioned. Good Odds Buddy, litter mate of Feral Frankie, Good Odds Arata, Solar Sky. He'll be in for Frank Hurst on Thursday night as well. Another great chance to advance to the semis.
So what have we got? Casino coming up on Friday, where some of the Queenslanders will cross the border.
Yes, we do. We had heats of Casino on Friday, and the final will be next Friday. Of the eight finalists, six of them are from Queensland. But ironically, the fastest qualifier is a local dog. Mark Wilkes trained Painted Pitcher was the fastest qualifier. It's a cracking field for Casino. And I know a lot of I think there was 11 dogs that did come across for the heats. And most of the ones that missed out will now try their luck at Lismore the following week. So the series is really working well in terms of attracting interstate dogs. The Queenslanders are coming across for those. Victorians, fantastic heats of Bulleye tomorrow night, Simon. The Victorians are all coming up for that.